40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
This moment is a really good moment for us because we are so close to reach a fantastic target for us. But we mustn't forget we have to take 3 points. We must know that to play against West Brom is not easy. This is a really strong team, a good coach, and for sure the atmosphere will be very, very hot.
That's Antonio Conte, who in his first season as Chelsea's manager has the London Football Club on the brink of its sixth English Premier League title. Chelsea will reach that fantastic target Conte talks about if it wins at West Bromwich Albion Friday night. The Blues of Chelsea finished in 10th place last season, but with the Italian Conte in charge, they've made an impressive turnaround to the top of the Premier League standings. Conte came to Chelsea after guiding Juventus to 3 consecutive Serie A crowns in Italy. He says lifting the Premier League trophy with Chelsea will be one of his biggest achievements as a manager.
I like to have a big challenge in my life, and I think that in my life I only take for now only this type of situation. When I started my career in Arezzo, and then Siena, Bari, and then with the Juventus, and now with the national team, maybe in the worst period of our national team, and then with Chelsea after 10th place. I think that this could be another big, big step for me.
Elsewhere, Ajax Amsterdam and Manchester United took big, big steps on Thursday when they advanced to the Europa League football final. Both clubs ended up squeezing through to the May 24th showpiece in Stockholm after tense finishes in second leg matches in the semifinals. Ajax nearly squandered a first leg lead, losing 3-1 to Lyon in France, but going through on a 5-4 aggregate. And Man U conceded an 85th minute equalizer and hung on for a 1-1 draw against the visiting Spanish club Celta Vigo. Man U advanced to the final on a 2-1 aggregate. Man U's Portuguese manager, Jose Mourinho, says his boys showed their fighting spirit.
For Celta, for Vigo, it was the most important match of their history. And it was very important for us that we equaled that desire. And in the end, when the game was difficult, when they were better than us, when we were in trouble, when we were not playing well, in the end, I think was that mentality and that desire and that togetherness that made the boys fight until the end.
Now let's go to Belgium, where the country's top club football league, First Division A, will wrap up play on May 21st. Anderlecht is currently in first place with 61 points, followed by defending champion Club Brugge with 59 points, Zulte Waregem with 54 points, and Ghent with 50 points. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori caught up with Ghent's Ghanaian captain, Nana Asare, and Kwabena asked Nana, what do you think about being the first Ghanaian captain in Ghent's history?
I think it's a very good achievement for a Ghanaian to captain or to lead a team in Belgium, and yeah, I'm very proud of that, and yeah, it's a very good thing to have.
As a captain, do you face racism on the pitch? And how do you cope with it?
fans' behavior?
I think there is racism. You can obviously not deny that, but I think it's more about how you cope with it, and yeah, they can show their feelings, but it's up to you to respond to it, and yeah, you just have to do your job and let everything go. After that, you go back to your family.
This is your fourth season with Ghent. Any achievements so far?
Well, my cabin here has been a fantastic years. I think we won the Belgium title, we played the Champions League, and also won the Super Cup. And now to lead the team also, it's been amazing. God has been good.
Nana, how was the feeling when you won the Belgian League for the first time in 2015 and qualified straight on for the UEFA Champions League?
It's a feeling you cannot describe it. I think it's nobody expected us to get that far, and we made it, so the feeling, it's unbelievable.
That's the winning the Belgian League, the Super Cup, Champions League, and all that's very tough, a very good achievement. On the ongoing league, do you think the chance is still there for you to win the Belgian League and proceed straight to the Champions League?
Well, mathematically, it's possible, but yeah, we cannot put our hopes on others to lose for us to be able to do it. And yeah, we had our chances, and yeah, we kind of blew it. But yeah, it's part of life. We just have to keep on going. If we don't do it this year, we have another season to do it. So
how is the atmosphere as a Ghanaian and African living here, playing your football? How do the people receive you?
Well, I think I've been here for a very long time. It's been like almost 12 years since I left Ghana. And yeah, my first team I played was here in Belgium. So the first year was difficult, but as years passed by, I kind of like got adapted to their way of living. And also, yeah, I have so many people around me that are from Ghana. Even my church that I go to are 90% Ghanaians, I kind of feel at home.
This is your fourth year. Are you still going on with Ghent, or there may be a change of club?
Well, as it stands now, my contract is still run to 2019, so we just keep working harder and harder, and whatever happens, God is king.
As a captain, how do you feel with the club Ghent?
I feel fantastic, and like I always say to every journalist I meet, I have a very good team. We have also a lot of young players and very talented, so we all blend in together to form one team, and we fight for each other. But in the whole, as a captain, it's been a fantastic journey for me.
Your fans in Africa and Ghana, they are very proud of you. What do you tell them?
I should say they should keep supporting me, and not only me per se, but also every Ghanaian player abroad, and keep praying for us, because we need their support a lot to also to get more motivation, and also to keep fighting and to improve.
Keep fighting and keep improving, Nana. That's Ghana's international footballer, Nana Assare, the captain of the Belgian club Ghent. And Nana was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Ghent, Belgium. World football's governing body, FIFA, held its 67th annual Congress this week in Bahrain. Several top African officials were elected to key FIFA committees during the Congress. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as others, in what he promises will be a spicy and comprehensive sports package. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny, and welcome to the wrap of all the sporting headlines from the African continent ahead of this weekend. We begin with the news that some notable Africans have been elected into top committees of football ruling body FIFA during the 67th Congress of the body. Notable of all the positions announced is Ghanaian Supreme Court Justice Anen Yeboah, who is now the chairman of FIFA's disciplinary committee. He was voted in for a four-year term at Thursday's Congress of Football's World Governing Body in Bahrain. Rwanda's Martin Ngunga was voted in as the deputy chairman of the investigatory chamber of the Ethics Committee. Others include Nigeria's Justice Ayotunde Phillips, who was elected as member of the Ethics Committee adjudicatory chamber. Newly appointed Bafana Bafana coach Stuart Baxter will be outlining his future plans for South African football on Monday next week. The Scotsman says his main priority when he officially takes over the coaching reins next month will be to maintain good relations with all coaches throughout South Africa.
It's all based on relationships, and relationships must improve.
Stuart Baxter is also glad that Safa and his club, Super Sports, were able to reach some form of agreement on his future role.
The worst part for us was when there was a lot of uncertainty, and the uncertainty became slightly destabilizing. That together with other things, but the uncertainty, the constant questions that they couldn't answer, the players couldn't answer, I couldn't answer, the club couldn't answer, the uncertainty was the bad part.
Pesquera midfielder and former Ghanaian international Suleiman Muntari, who was racially abused in a league game last week, has already made it clear that he will leave the field again and again if he continues to receive racial abuses on the field of play, and he will not keep quiet about racial abuses. His latest comments are coming after Italian Football Association upturned his one-game match ban.
Racial abuse is really bad. It's there, so I experienced it. Of course, I'm not going to keep quiet. I wanted to talk about it, to be able to fight it. There's a lot of people that are going through this kind of issue. And I decided not to sleep on it as previous occasions.
Sule Muntari, who called racial abuse a disease, said other professional football players in the world must come together to fight it.
We need to come together. We need a strong team that can fight this disease here that I called it. It is a disease because we need to come together and fight it. So if we all come together and all the important people that are needed, definitely we have to come together and fight it.
Cameroon football head coach Richard Towa was taken to a Baku hospital after fainting on Thursday during a match against Morocco, according to team doctor Tamo Maktamo. The indomitable Lions coach was seen celebrating France Pankok 31st minute goal before fainting and was taken to the stadium's infirmary, where he had to be reanimated and was then taken to a hospital in Baku. Dr. Moktamu said the coach was admitted and was treated at the cardiology department, where he was stabilized and is said to be now recuperating. Cameroon drew 1-1 against Morocco, conceding a 95th minute equalizer. Africa has one automatic ticket, which will be contested for by 5 countries. These include Kenya, Uganda, Namibia, Zimbabwe and Senegal for the 2019 Rugby World Cup. Kenya could face defending champions New Zealand and heavyweight South Africa if they qualify. Kenya will begin their campaign for the qualifiers this month when they face Germany in a test match. Ian Mugambi is a director of sports for Kenya Rugby Union.
We need to be more professional in our outlook towards the games. So moving into the World Cup, then we'd look at probably getting the players into a camp environment about a month before we go into the qualifiers, such that when we go to play the games, we're fully focused on the game. I think we were a bit naive last time we were playing in Madagascar. We've learned from the experience. We'll definitely not make the same mistakes moving forward.
And to South Africa, where South Africa's Sports Minister Tulas Nkosi has confirmed that the South African Rugby Union has been given the green light to bid for the 2023 World Cup.
They've met a particular target, although it's low, which has been the basis of the memorandum. But starting from now, we are saying, let's start that program which goes into the black townships, into the rural areas.
The decision by the government of South Africa comes months after the body was among a number of sports organizations banned from hosting events for non-meeting transformation targets.
We are saying, therefore, if they've been able to do that, then they have the right to bid for and host those international activities. And if you go into the report and analyze it factor by factor, you would be able to see that they have been able to meet that target which they set themselves.
In kickboxing news, Ugandan Patricia Apolot will be fighting for the kickboxing intercontinental title when she meets Austria's Karina Grimmel at the Lugongo Indoor Arena on Saturday in Kampala.
If I was able to win in the international market, now I'm going to win in the intercontinental market. I have 1 full week of 5 days to recover, to heal, even tomorrow. Yesterday I was in the gym. I was really, really very, very ready for the fight.
Her opponent, Karina Grimmel, says she expects that they will both show themselves some form of respect during the fight.
I'm sure that also people from Uganda will respect me and with respect, because it's not only fight, it's sport, and we all should respect each other. This is most important.
And finally to Nigeria, where it's barely 24 hours before the fifth edition of the 10-kilometer Okpepe Road Race begins. Already, a record 15 gold-level running elite athletes will participate in the race for the men and women's title, where a $15,000 prize money is up for grabs. According to the race spokesman, Dare Eshon, 6 women and 9 men who are gold-level elite runners made the final list of athletes, as confirmed by the race director of organization, Zach Amodu.
It's an IWF event. What that means is that it's the biggest, is one of the most prestigious road races in the world. On the 13th of May, there's only one road race in the world, and that is the Okpepe.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, in Washington.
Thanks, Samson, and have a nice weekend. And sporty kudos to you, Samson, for that extra spicy and in-depth sports package. In the National Basketball Association playoffs, the 5-time champion San Antonio Spurs spanked the host Houston Rockets Thursday night, 114-75, to win that best-of-7 series, 4-2. The Spurs now advance to the Western Conference Finals, where they'll play the Golden State Warriors. The Spurs got a season-high 34 points from LaMarcus Aldridge in Game 6, a game they played without All-Star forward Kawhi Leonard, who sat out with an injured left ankle. Here in Washington, the Washington Wizards face a must-win situation when they host the Boston Celtics later Friday night. The Celtics lead 3-2 and will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers with a win over the Wizards Friday night. And Andrew Palcheski, you know that I'm going to be rooting for the Wizards in that game. I'm hoping for a magical performance at the phone booth, the Verizon Center. Not too far from here, Andrew.
No, just down the road from us. I think there's a lot of fans in Washington today who are hoping for a magical performance tonight. But here's the stat that Washington has to contend with. Teams facing elimination at home in the playoffs, 0-10. Every single team that has faced an elimination game on their home court has lost that game. So the Wizards, it'll either be 0-11 or 1-10 tonight if they can buck that trend in Washington here. We'll see if they can do it. So
what you're telling me is the odds are stacked against the Wizards.
You know, it's each one of these games is its own kind of microcosm. So just because it's 0-10 for all those other 10 teams doesn't mean it has to be 0-11. It could be 1-10, and we're hoping that it will be tonight after the Wizards hopefully win tonight. But for the Spurs, you know, spanked is one of the many words that people are using on social media. No Kawhi Leonard, no problem. Went and just blasted Houston Rockets out of the sky, I guess you could say.
Defused the Rockets.
And certainly somebody that was defused was James Harden, the best beard in basketball, falling very flat. Just 10 points scored, 2-11 on shots and 6 pretty ugly turnovers. He'd pass the ball to an invisible player, go out of bounds, getting the ball kind of stripped from him. A lot of questions about why he didn't play very well. Some people speculating that he may have had some either a concussion or something going on. At the end of Game 5, he kind of got elbowed in the face, and there was some thought that maybe that contributed to his poor play last night, that he got kind of knocked off his game. But whatever the case may be, the Rockets are defused and the Spurs are moving on.
Interesting, Andrew. I did hear one basketball analyst say that Harden at points in the game looked like a deer in headlights, that he did not have that confident swagger about him.
Yeah, whether it was, you know, something going on in his personal life, or sometimes you just have a bad day, or if it indeed was a health issue, there was something that caused him to not play well, and fans definitely took notice.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, we've talked in the past about the National Football League and their relationship with Twitter. Last year, they streamed a bunch of games on Twitter. And this year, they've signed with Amazon. So Amazon is going to stream some NFL games this year. But the NFL and Twitter are maintaining their partnership. And Twitter and the NFL have announced this week that they're taking other live content to the social media site. They're going to have a new 30-minute football show 5 days a week. They're going to have live pregame coverage on Twitter and Periscope, the live streaming service that Twitter owns. They're going to highlight content provided by the NFL on Twitter. So a big partnership for them. And if you look at what Twitter's done in terms of sports over the past year, it's a pretty impressive portfolio. They're going to stream 20 WNBA, Women's National Basketball Association games in the 2017, 2018, and 2019 seasons. They're going to have a new Major League Baseball show that they're debuting, a 24-hour sports network that's going to have college sports and highlights. And then the Players Tribune, which is the company founded by Derek Jeter, is partnering with them to have athletes directly talk to fans via live video. So if you look at collectively, and that's not to mention, too, the PGA deal that they have. They're showing over 70 PGA tournament events throughout the year. So if you look at everything that Twitter's done, they've really set their pace and shown that they are the social media network for sports. And so we'll see if that trend continues, if Facebook tries to jump in, other social networks try to jump in. But right now it's all Twitter all the time in the sports world.
And speaking of Twitter, Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. You can also follow me on Facebook. My address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of Twitter, we had trending on Twitter today, Tom Brady and Madden 18. Now, Tom Brady, of course, the five-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback of the New England Patriots. Madden 18 is the football video game that they release each year, the Madden series, very popular football video game. And every year it becomes kind of this big to-do as who's going to be on the cover of the Madden video game. So for Madden 18, which is going to be released this August, Tom Brady will be on the cover. Some people saying it's really the last kind of milestone that's eluded him. He has the Super Bowls, he has all the Pro Bowls, whatever.
But he doesn't have Madden.
Doesn't have Madden. He's finally getting that. And they're also releasing a special GOAT edition. Of course, many people say that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, G-O-A-T, GOAT. He's the oldest player to be on the cover as well, so he has that distinction. But they're... is some question, will he encounter the Madden curse? Now, this is a curse that people claim players that have appeared on the cover of the Madden video game have gone on to be injured, have bad careers, all kinds of tragedies have befallen them. So some fans are actually excited to see him on there, saying, hoping the Madden curse lives up. But Brady, you know, he issued a statement, said, I don't believe in curses. I'm ready to face this head on. And even if he does get injured or whatever, he still won 5 Super Bowls. He's still done quite well for himself. So I don't think you can call him cursed in any sense of the word.
Andrew, what else is trending on this Friday?
Well, a viral video going around the internet from the Giro Italia race, Slovenian Luka Pibernik crossing the finish line in stage 5 of the Giro Italia, raising his arms up in triumph, but he didn't win the race. And that's because he crossed that finish line, raised his arms up, but still had one lap to go and didn't realize it. So you see him, it's really kind of sad. You see him, you know, he looks so excited, he's pumping his fists in the air, and you see this whole phalanx of riders behind him coming up slowly, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. Unfortunately for him, he did not end up winning that stage because by the time they got close to him and he started pedaling again, they were already going too fast and he couldn't catch up with them. But lots of people looking at this video saying that it was ridiculous. Didn't he hear that last bell ringing, the bell they ring for the last lap? Didn't he hear that? Well, apparently the headset in his helmet was broken, so his team couldn't communicate to him and tell him, keep going, keep going. Some people having a bit of fun with this. Dutch cyclist Theo Bos, he tweeted his congratulations to Pibernik, and then he tweeted and said, at least for a brief moment, he knows what it feels like winning a stage in the Grand Tour. Ouch, that's hurtful. It's like rubbing salt into the wound right there. But unfortunately for Luka Pibernik, I think he'll keep a better eye and a better count on what lap he's on in races going forward.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
You too.
And that wraps up the May 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Trade and Development Agency recently awarded a grant to the Nigerian company Community Social Enterprises Limited, or CESEL, for a feasibility study supporting the rollout of 25 solar photovoltaic microgrids across Nigeria. Together, the microgrids will produce more than 5 megawatts. This project will help Nigeria to capitalize on its tremendous solar energy potential by scaling up the deployment of off-grid generation and mini-grid systems, ultimately increasing access to electricity. The study will focus on providing solar energy for rural and peri-urban communities that generally lack reliable access to electricity. The microgrid systems will operate on a pay-as-you-go structure, using mobile payments, with production and consumption monitored on a real-time basis. This structure will ensure payment and sustainability, as well as provide consistent, reliable power at a lower price than diesel generators. CESEL selected the U.S. firm Renuvia Energy Corporation to conduct the feasibility study. The project presents opportunities for U.S. businesses to make sales in solar PV modules, batteries, electrical equipment, control systems, and meters across Nigeria. We are proud to connect CESEL with a leading U.S. company on this important project to expand energy access in Nigeria, said Lida Fitz, the U.S. Trade and Development Agency's Regional Director for Sub-Saharan Africa. We're delighted to be selected as technical services partner for this project with CESEL, said Trey Jared, CEO of Renuvia. We look forward to continuing development of solar microgrids in sub-Saharan Africa, and we're excited to play such an important role in helping to advance Nigeria's support for off-grid power. The grant was signed by the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, John Bray, and Dr. Patrick Tolani of CESEL. This project advances the goals of Power Africa to increase electricity connections and power generation. The U.S. Trade and Development Agency helps companies create U.S. jobs through the export of U.S. goods and services for priority development projects in emerging economies. USTDA links U.S. businesses to export opportunities by funding project planning activities, pilot projects, and reverse trade missions while creating sustainable infrastructure and economic growth in partner countries. The United States is proud to work with its partner Nigeria and the private sector to help meet the energy needs of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Coming up this Sunday, I have a super hot show. Such great music, current hits and classics from Nigeria, South Africa, Ghana, Senegal, and Liberia. You'll also meet an indie artist from Ghana who is on the rise, Checheku. So tune in and join me, peeps, Saturday and Sunday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Don't be square, be there. Music Time in Africa. Peace out.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.